Father, we are thankful that you are living. You are not a dead God. And Father, we are thankful for that. That you're a God that is well able to do beyond our wildest hopes, dreams, and aspirations. Your faithfulness is so obvious. And Lord, oh God, we rely fully on you. We're also thankful, Lord, oh God, that you're the God who has purposed in yourself to use us as your people. And Lord, we come for a cleansing. We come knowing, O God, that we're redeemed, sanctified by your word and by the washing of your water, the water of your word. Recognizing, O God, that you have positioned yourself in your loving kindness and tender mercies to use mere men, ordinary people, for extraordinary purposes. Because you've elected to tabernacle with us. And during this feast of Sukkot, this feast of tabernacle, we come before your throne room and we say, Lord, tabernacle in and with us. Empower us by your abiding grace to live, first of all, victoriously as it relates to our spiritual walk before you, our minds, our spirits, our minds, our will, our intellect, everything about us, our bodies, sanctified and separated unto you, that we may stand as holy vessels, sanctified by your word, doing your will in the earth, overcoming the forces of darkness, as we obey you. In Jesus' mighty name we ask this and say it, amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see you tonight for another time of experiencing God together. On the second day of our gathering together, which was the last time I spoke with
There's
us.
There's nothing called girlfriend scheduled between this evening to tomorrow.
What on earth? Oh, wow. Well, the Lord brought us to a place of understanding about the fact that he wants to use our lives and that his grace is sufficient. The word of God became very clear to us about the fact that God wants us to be partakers of his divine nature. We explored the fact that God wants to reveal himself to us and that his glory is in the beholding of his face. So we know that the glory of God has to do with the presence of God. And we established that part of what we call salvation is that we are restored to the glory. The Bible says that we all sinned and we fell short of the glory of God. So if we are now made righteous unto God, then that glory has to be reinstated. But the glory of God is all that God is, the very essence of who he is, not only in his saving power, but in the empowerment to reverse and to shut down every activity that resulted from sin made manifest in our lives. And I'm certain that we know that death came by sin. Sickness and disease came by sin. Poverty came by sin. Shame came by sin. Depression, confusion, all of that came by sin. So if the glory of God is restored, then we now must live a shameless life. We now must live a prosperous life. We now must live a healthy life. We must live a life of peace. Amen? Because the reverse is what Jesus, our Lord, came to accomplish for us. Will we accept that? Amen. So we will continue to explore this. Now, the next step that we need to take is to examine how this presence of God, this tabernacling with God, and we connected to God, how it transpires. Psalm 23 tells us about the Lord being our good shepherd. And then Psalm 24 starts out this way. After telling us that we will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever, the word of God says the earth is the Lord's. Actually, let's look at the last verse of Psalm 23 and then come to Psalm 24. It says, read it with me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. This was a passage of scripture that Mama and I held on to when we came into this country. We came in as students, knowing that God had called us to this nation to be ministers of the gospel, as missionaries, as preachers of the word. But having come here, immigration issues were really serious. We were threatened over and over and over again to be sent out of this nation. And we held on to this passage of the scripture. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. This world belongs to God, my Father. The fullness of it belongs to God. And nobody can throw me out of this country because this is my Father's world. Hallelujah. This is my Father's world. And nobody is going to throw me out of this place. We were very close to being cast out of this nation. One of the last meetings that we had with the immigration department, the guy who was dealing with us said to us, next time you come here, if you don't have your finances together, and we don't work in this country, we're going to send you out of here. No more appointments for immigration. And the night before we were going to go back, the Lord spoke. He said, ask me to see the manager. I want you to understand what he just said to us. Ask me to see the manager. That was the key that we needed. We did not know it. I didn't know there was a manager at the immigration office. I knew nothing. We were blind to all of that. So we said, Father, tomorrow when we go to the immigration office, we want to see the manager. We went there. We sat down in this small room. It's smaller than from here to the wall there. And the place is packed. Unlike other times we've been there. We were there for hours, just sitting. And while we're sitting there, I see three guys walking out, and one of them was really bald, just bald. This was pre people going bald, and, you know, as a style. I see him go out with this other two around 12 o'clock. We've been there since about 9 in the morning. And I didn't see him come back in. I didn't know there was another door outside that particular meeting place, reception area. He'd gone back through that other door, and he came back in the same way I saw him heading out. Because the place was packed, he comes and he grabs a file and he mentions this name. It was close enough to our name. We stood up, we went to him, and he says, is this you? I said, yeah. So he walks us. And he walks us past all of the cubicles of the junior officers that we've been dealing with. He walks in and he comes into this secluded office, nice office, with a nice desk. And he sits and he says to us, he ushers us to sit. And when we sat down there and looked at that table, we saw a plate. And the plate says, Manager. He begins to fill out a form, asking us questions here and there, and we were answering. He finishes everything, or rather, while he's filling, he goes out, and we peer out, and he's pulling books just to find out what his response was supposed to be on the form. His manager is not filling these forms, and he's not about to go ask one of his people that is managing, what is this? He fills out everything, gives us 6 months. Now, we've been coming, and God was blessing, and we'll come with $1,000, and they'll give us 2 weeks. 1 week. Like we're in that immigration office, without exaggerating, I would say no less than 50 times. No less than 50 times. We're there over and over and over again. And this guy gives us, we've never had 6 months, 2 weeks. The most we'd had was 1 month. And he put down 6 months. And then says, oh, and by the way, how much do you have? We said, we don't have any money. He said, no, not how much do you have here. How much do you have at home or in the bank? We said, no money. Zero. And he says to us, okay, I tell you what. In 6 months, if you come back here without money, I will personally walk you from this office straight to the airport, and we are sending you out of this country. Do you understand? 6 months was too long for God. In 6 months, God had changed our story. The earth was the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Somebody shout hallelujah. God is faithful. We were right at the edge. Why do I tell you that story? Because there is not a point that you can give up on the faithfulness of God. No matter how dark the day is, God is still sovereign. Why did God ask us to say, ask me for the manager? We've been holding on to, it is written. It is written. We're quoting it. It is written. It is written. It is written. But God wanted us to say, the difference and the place of the victory that you operate in and by is not in just saying it is written. Yes, it is written. Jesus, our Lord, said it is written. And he said again, it is written. But it was only when he said it is said that the temptation stopped and the enemy backed off. We've got to step into the saying of what God has said, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And the word of God says to us, if you say to this mountain, if you say, the abiding presence of God, the grace of God operational in our lives, is established and flows through what we say. Hallelujah. That's important to know. Now, let's go on. He says, for he had founded the world that he had founded it upon the seas. This word here, the seas, represents, of course, the water. But it's interesting that the word, the Hebrew word here, is also a word for roar. Like a lion roars. It is the enforcement of his authority. When a lion roars, every animal and everything around it, for miles, as loud as his roar goes, is terrified. And they know, okay, there is a boss around here. God's word says he founded it upon the seas. upon the seas based on his roar, his word, the sound of his presence. He founded it upon the seas. And the second thought about this, the seas, is that seas are not very stable. It's water. He says, but he founded it on something that was so unstable. And he established it upon the floods. Something that is still unstable. And he switches from that and says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now, Lord, what are you doing here? You say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You say in your word that you founded it upon the seas and you establish it upon the rivers. What connection has any of that with this? There seems to be no linking point. But the idea that God is establishing is this. Listen, this world belongs to me. The fullness thereof belongs to me. I established it upon the seas, or rather, laid it upon the foundations of the sea and established it on the streams, the rivers. And I'm saying to you that what I'm about to declare to you is possible because I am in charge. I'm not depending on you. But if you trust me, this is what is going to happen. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who is it? Any of you? Anybody? Holy enough to stand in my holy place? Anybody here holy enough to ascend onto my holy hill? And everyone that is true to themselves will say, no one. We can't. It goes further to describe who it is that will be able to ascend, rise, be raised up, be brought up. All of those words are connected to that word ascend, Allah. To ascend, to be raised up, to be brought up, to be promoted. Who is it that will be able to come up higher onto my holy hill? He says, he that hath clean hands. Your hands are clean because they've been washed. He that has a pure heart, undefiled. He who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So he lists four things. He that had clean hands, a pure heart, not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That one shall receive the blessing from the Lord. But Lord, how are we going to be able to do any of this? How am I going to be able to live out my life this way? Well, let's begin to explore that. In Romans 3 and verse 22, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. The righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all. In essence, God is saying, I am going to take responsibility to bring you up higher. Praise the Lord. Don't worry about it. I'm in charge. I'm going to take you up higher. I'm going to bring you up to this high place. Because you, all of you, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've come short of it. So I'm going to have to establish my grace. I'm going to establish my glory upon you. This is how it's going to happen. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption that's in Christ Jesus. This is how I'm going to bring you to this place where you have access to my presence. Somebody shout hallelujah. So it is not in relying on us, but God relying on Himself to bring us in. Now, do we have a part to play in all of this? Yes, I will show to you in the Word of God in just a moment. The Word of God says to us that Jesus died for every one of us. For every one of us, Jesus died. He paid the price for our redemption. However, while He is the propitiation for our sins, verse 25 says, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. The declaration of the righteousness of God brings about the remission of sins that are what? Past. Through the forbearance of God. God declares our sins as what? Come on. I just read it to you. Past. What is past? Past. It is past because it is past. Even future is declared past. Come on. Do we need to go to the book of Ecclesiastes to find out that the past is declared as now, the future is declared as now, and all God requires is that which is past? God sees every single detail and paid for the price of sins already sinned and sins yet to be sinned. Now, we do not make a practice of sin, but God knows that in this world, we can encounter situations that defile. And so He's made provision by the covering and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if we will, through faith in His blood, embrace that, experience the righteousness of God, which brings about the remission, the sending away of the sins that are past. Why? How? Through the what? Forbearance. Somebody say forbearance. Say it again, forbearance. One more time, forbearance. Yes, the forbearance of God. You dirty little scoundrel. I should be whooping you right now, but I forbear. You ask for forgiveness. You have faith in the precious blood of Jesus, then this sin is remitted away. And I shut the mouth of the accuser. And the peace of God takes a hold of your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. It says in verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So there's the law of works, and there is the law of faith. The law of works is more focused on your doings. The law of faith is reliant on what Jesus has already accomplished. Amen? This is what the Lord has accomplished. Now, don't misplace what we're talking about here and embrace the lie of sin. I can sin and God will forgive. No, that's called the practice of sin. That's not what God is talking about. He's talking about the capacity and the ability in Christ Jesus that causes you and I to walk uprightly before God. That's what his focus is on. So the word of God continues in Psalm 24. Actually, okay, let's go back to Psalm 24. Verse 3. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And what we've tried to establish by what we just talked about is that this clean hands and this pure heart and this soul that is not lifted up to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, is related to what Jesus Christ had done for us. Amen? He says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You receive the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift from God. Amen? Now, look at what the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2. We'll go to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll take it up from verse 13 through 15. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to what? Will and to do what? Do of his good pleasure. Now, both to will and to do of his good pleasure is connected to the walk of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith in the finished work of Jesus. He says in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be what? Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. God wants you and I to be blameless and harmless. But let's look at verse 14 again, because that's the key factor. Do all things without what? Murmurings. Murmurings are a result of people who are not walking in faith, and secondly, people who want to do things their own way. In essence, they are rebellious. When you are rebellious and disobedient, you will murmur and you will dispute, you will argue. God says, everything you do henceforth, do without you being rebellious, complaining, just being disobedient, and do it without you arguing. God says, I want you to do this, and you spend your time arguing about it. He says, stop that. That is the way you find yourself left alone in the place of blame. But if you don't want to be a person who is under that canopy of being in the state of blame, then stop murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless, that you may be harmless, that you may be the sons of God without rebuke. I don't need to chastise you. I know that you live in the midst of a crooked and perverse people, and that you have a battle in your hand. Everybody's doing this. Look at what that guy is doing, and he's making it in life. Why can't I do that? Stop arguing with me. Just do what I said. He says, when you do that, you'll shine as light in the world. How? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Let's join together. Remember one of the things we talked about on Tuesday, I think it was, is that part of what God is looking for is a unified body, that God wants to take us all together. That this is not about you getting ahead and the rest of us in the caboose, but God wants to take everybody together. When the water rises on the seashore, all the boats rise. When he comes, he's not going to get, you know, some people in first class, some people second class, some people third class. Everybody goes in the Jesus class. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody's in the Jesus class. Praise the Lord. So, nobody is more holy than the other. We are all holy together. We are all righteous together. We are all pure together, because our faith is in the finished work of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Hallelujah. So, there is blamelessness. Colossians 1 and verse 22 says to us, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22, It says, in the body of his flesh through death, the death of Jesus Christ, to present you, because of what he did to present you and I holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wow. The Lord is saying that when he looks at you and I, based on what he did, his death, when he looks at you, he doesn't see somebody that is blamable and somebody that's reprovable. Well, that's heavy. But that's what he's talking about. But that is accomplished as we tie in to him and will become one with him. Then he releases through his eyes no blame. And it is through the body of his flesh. So God looks at me and he sees no reason to blame. How? If ye continue in faith. If you continue in faith, you will be blameless. So as long as you are in faith, there is no blame. You are being cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the abiding presence of God establishes you. And God sees you and he sees himself in you and in me. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And Paul says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Watch this. And which was preached to every creature. Wow. Now that's heavy. This gospel has been preached to every creature which is under heaven. Yeah. How, God, did you do that? By announcing over the world, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, they belong to me. And I'm saying, I'm declaring, day in, day out, you belong to me. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to me. Hallelujah. I believe it's in Psalm 19. Let's look at Psalm 19 real quickly. I think that's the passage of Scripture. Yes. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens, they declare the glory of God. Remember what we said, it is not just it is written, it is said. Yes? So what does the word of God say? He put into that which is declared in the heavens and in the firmament, he says, day unto day uttereth. Day unto day is speaking. They utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And then it says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What voice? The voice of the glory of the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is speaking and has set the day and the night to keep on speaking. So, there is not a man. Now, we need to go preach the gospel. We need to tell people about the love of God and the kindness of God and all of that. We need to do that. And bring people to the person of Jesus Christ. But the reason we bring people to the person of Jesus Christ is because we want them to know how it is that they have access to God. It is because of what Jesus did even before the foundations of the world. Amen? How many of you know he died even before the foundations of the world? Okay. So, he says, their speech, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It doesn't matter whether you're Polish, Ukrainian, Russian, Swedish, English, African, Australian, Hawaiian. It doesn't matter what native language you have. The day and the night speak your language. Declaring the glory of God. It says their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. What is the word of God telling us? It's telling us blatantly and very clearly that his glory is in all the world. And he has set it up in such a way that anybody who calls upon the name of God, the name of the Lord, will be saved. We are going to be surprised at the kind of people we're going to find in heaven. We're going to be very surprised that there are going to be people in heaven that we did not expect to be there. They may not have heard physically the preaching of the word, but day and night is speaking into their spirit. It's speaking to them. And they are making decisions. Do you know, no matter how bad the society and evil the society is, at one point or the other, they knew what was right and what was wrong. Everybody. Because everyone that is born had a light in them. Jesus is the light that lit everyone that came into the world. When you were, when your mother became pregnant with you, at the time of pregnancy, if they were to hone in to see what happened, they will find a flash of light. Hallelujah. Even in your system, in your DNA, there's a form of the cross inbuilt in everyone, every human being. Praise the Lord. We all have been marked. And all God is asking us to do is to plug into what he has already done for us. Hallelujah. So let's look at what the word of God says in Ephesians. Did we do Colossians 1:22? I believe we did. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. He says that he might present it to himself, talking about the church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be what? Holy and without blemish. Now let's look at 25 coming to 27 and see this. Ephesians 5:25. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How? By dying for it. Yes? And God says, husbands, I want you to do the same thing. Why? Because the husband is called to be a covering. Just like God becomes a covering for us. Now, if Adam had not eaten of the fruit, do you know that nothing would have happened? It was when Adam ate of the fruit that man actually became a sinner. That's when they became naked. If Adam had not eaten of the fruit, and Eve had eaten of the fruit, and because of the eating of the fruit, you become naked. Eve would have become naked, and Adam would have said, hey, what's happening with you? What did you do? I ate of the fruit. Yeah, you see what has happened to you now, because you, no, it was when Adam ate. Do you know that the devil does not have access to your home until you, as a husband, come into agreement with whatever nonsense is happening in your home? Your wife can say all kinds of crazy stuff, but it behooves you don't come into agreement with whatever it is, because once you come into agreement with it, it becomes the law. Hello? Is that too much? Okay. So, don't come into agreement with it. Or it becomes your reality, your new normal. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? By the word. The cleansing of your hands, the purity of your heart, your life not being lifted up to vanity, and you not speaking in deception is only because of the sanctifying presence of the Word of God, the obedience to the Word of God. So the first thing that we need to do is obey the Word of God. Practice obedience of the Word of God. Practice that. And stop murmuring and stop disputing the Word of God. Whether you like it or not, just do what God said. Praise the Lord. Just do what God said. It is not always comfortable. But just do it. So that He can present you and I. He is cleansing us with the water of His word. So He can present us to Himself. To Himself. Not to the world. To Himself. A glorious church. Not having spot, wrinkle, and stuff like that. And say, he goes on in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. You're presenting her to yourself by cleansing her with the word. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Verse 1 is very important. It says to us in verse 1, first of all, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace, the enabling power and the presence of God. And it is found only in Christ Jesus. You don't find grace anywhere else. It is in Christ Jesus. It says, be strong in that. Hold on to that. Amen? Be a faithful man. Continue with the word of God. Verse 2 says, it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There is true challenges that come. He says, but be firm, be strong, be committed, be driven. Don't entangle yourself with the things and the affairs of this natural world, because you have been chosen by God. Detangle yourself from anything that's going to cause you not to pursue the heartbeat of God. Now, in verse 20, 2 Timothy 2:20, it says to us, it says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Ultimately, that's what we're crying out to God for. We want to be vessels of honor in the house of God, fit for the master's use, and prepared, readied for every good work. Now, those are two different things. Being meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. In essence, God is using you now, but while he's using you now, he's preparing you for the next level and the next level and the next level and the next level. Do we get that? Okay? God is not just looking at you now. He's looking down the pike to the different things that he's going to use you to accomplish. And he gets you and I ready today. So your obedience to God for the present does not divorce you for obedience for the future. Now, the obedience for the things of the future are the things that God will stretch you like a rubber band to become, even though it doesn't seem needful right now. But when you get to the place where he's going to take you to, you'll find out, look at God. I didn't know I needed this, but that's what I needed for this stage. You didn't need it in grade 2, but now you need it in grade 6. He's preparing you. Hallelujah. Because there is more to God and more to the things God wants to accomplish in you and me than what we think. When I first started preaching, I wrote out all of my messages, every detail, and God used it powerfully. And then he said, no more of that. I said, what am I going to do? So I'll give you the scripture, and I'll expound the scripture for you. Now I had to trust God now. I had to trust him. What about studying? Yes, you got to study to be a workman approved of God. Your studying causes me to approve you, to certify you. But the further manifestation of that is about me, not about your study. Because your study can take you only so far. But my revelation will take you all the way through. Hallelujah. So I studied. And now, because after a while, my notes were totally unnecessary. I'm reading it and all of a sudden it goes off. And I'm saying things that I didn't even study. But it was lining up with the Word of God. I had a better understanding of what he was trying to accomplish. And knowing how he was moving me step by step by step. That was part of the growth, preparing me for the future. Yeah, I was speaking to a handful of people, and God had in his mind thousands of people. So I started moving in that. Preparation for every good work. Faith had to arise. He had to teach me. Are you light? I said, yes, I am. Is sickness and disease darkness? I said, yes. When the light comes, what happens to the dark? I said, it leaves. And he says, son, this is how we are going to deal. I don't need your prayers. I said, what do you mean, don't need my prayers? That started in India. But God was already doing it, and I did not know it. It was later that it dawned on me. It was in the crusade ground that he told me, I don't need your prayers. But prior to the crusade ground, there was a woman that had been bedridden. She got to be about 400 to 500 pounds. heavyset, bedridden. And she got that way because she could not put her foot on the ground. If there was a grain of sand on the floor, she would be in so much pain, and it would shoot through her entire body. And here they called me to come pray for this woman. And I go in there, and I said to her, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I said, come with me. I grabbed her hand, and she stepped. And she walked outside on the sand, healed. But it didn't dawn on me that God did not need my prayers then. But God was helping to move in that direction. Hallelujah. So now, I recognize, I remember so much miracles were happening that I said to the Lord, I don't want the healing ministry. I said it out of my mouth, this mouth. I said, I don't want it. He said, why don't you want the healing ministry? I said, there's too much pressure. You have to perform. Can you imagine the foolishness? With all of this, I still did not clue in that it was not me. I still had association with the miracle, but none of it happened because of me. And so I was busy putting pressure on myself when it was the faith of Jesus that was bringing about the healing. Can you imagine how foolish we can get? So God knew that was inside of me. And he was not shocked by the fact that I said, I don't want the healing ministry. And guess what? No healings took place until I came back and I said, God, I want the healing ministry again. I want it back. I cannot be preaching and nothing happens. And when I began to preach the word of God and say, Jesus is the resurrection and life, that we're not meant to die, it seemed like something foreign. But that's part of the reason, because I truly believe that. Because the word of God says that. That's why we don't bury people around here. 49 going to 50, only 3, maybe 4 people, if that, that are truly church members here. I've buried other people for other people. But this is not called, we're not called to be a funeral home. Amen? We embrace the word of God and allow the abiding grace of God to stay in us so that we can fulfill the mandates of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants to use our lives powerfully. Do you believe that? So it says, basically, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Who has sense? Clean hands, pure heart. And God says, locate those people. Flee youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, follow faith, follow love, follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And where strife is, there will be the manifestation of every evil work, James tells us. Instead of you manifesting good works, there will be manifestation of evil works. God says, look for people who are growing in faith. Stick with them. Stick together. Stick together. Stand together. Pursue together. And I will manifest my glory in each life. I'll continue from Psalm 24 in the days to come, as the Lord wills. But tonight, I want us to just embrace in our spirits the integrity of God's word, recognizing that God means what he said. Now, the word of God says to us that in the declaration of Paul, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to remind ourselves that Jesus gave himself for us and that his faith is what is operating in us. And as we pray tonight, we're going to ask God, let your faith operate in me. I say the faith of God is operating in me and through me. It is not based on what I see or know. It is based on what you know and what you see. And I say what you say and see what you see and declare what you have declared. In essence, it is to come to that place in our walk with God where it's no longer based on me. The only believing that I need to believe is not that God can, but that God is. Amen? God is. And when I believe that he is, he becomes a rewarder of those that do what? Diligently seek him. I want to be able to seek God. Who is going to ascend onto my mountain, my holy hill? Those that set their face to seek me. They want me. You have to want to go up that hill. Praise the Lord. When God's presence showed up, the people of Israel said to Moses, you go talk to him. We'll stay over here. Just you go talk to him. We don't want to die. No. Well, so you want me, Moses, to go and die? We need all to seek God's face. Hallelujah. That's why we need to encourage each other. You need to participate together as a family. We all need to be part of this family of God. Grow together. Flourish together. Prosper together. Know God together. And in that place, the devil has no room. There is no weak spot. He goes to you, Brother James, he gets a good punch. He goes to Sister Kristen, pow, pow, double punch. Huh? Hallelujah. Goes to Pastor Pat, Pastor Pat takes a hammer, pow. What am I going to find? He goes to Emmanuel. Emmanuel says, don't you know my name is Emmanuel, God with us? Pow, pow. And a third one, and an uppercut. Which way am I going to go? I'm going to go find Candy. Maybe I'll get away with Candy. Candy goes, ah! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is no weak spot. Everybody is on fire. Praise God. Because we're getting our fire from him. It's not man-made. It is his faith, not my faith. It is his believing in himself. That is my belief. God, you believe in yourself. I believe what you believe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Rise with me. Just talk to God. Just talk to God. Talk to him in your own way. Right now, those of you that are watching on Facebook and YouTube and Reddit and other platforms, just talk to God right now. He's paid the price for our redemption. He's paid the price. And we're just stepping into his finished work. Hallelujah. So just talk to him right now. He hears you. He hears you. And he has the day and the night speaking for you, for the manifestation of the glory of God. Just talk to him right now. As we, every one of us, surrender all to him. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Father, we come as one people under your Lordship. And we say we have your faith. It is operational in us and through us. You ask, who shall ascend onto the holy hill of the Lord? You said it is those that have clean hands, a pure heart. And Lord, O God, we receive our purity of heart and cleansed hands from you. You said it is those who have not lifted up their hearts unto vanity. Lord, we recognize that without you, we are nothing. You make us make sense. It is not things that make us. It is you. And therefore, our hearts are not lifted to vanity because we recognize your lordship over our lives. And we've not sworn deceitfully when we said, Jesus, come and be Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. It was not a declaration based on deceit. It was based on the truth that we know. We believe you, that you will help us live upright lives. And Lord, oh God, we obey your instruction. You said if we're going to be vessels of honor, that we need to do certain things. And that means, Father, that you're going to show to us what you want us to do. You're going to speak to us. So we say, Lord, Holy Spirit, do not put us aside. We cry out like David did, do not take your spirit from me. But let your spirit speak to us. And God grant us the grace to be obedient, to follow through, to do what you have asked us to do. We reject the spirit of murmuring and disputings. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, have your way, O God, in us and through us. For without you, we can do nothing. We surrender our lives to you. We say yes to your will, yes to your word. Have your way, O Most High. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, I encourage us to now come and obey God with our giving. The Word of God is very specific to us, very clear. It says, during this feast, we should not come empty-handed. We should bring a sacrifice, something that is dear to us, to him. And as we obey the instruction of God, God will honor us. Amen? So tonight, honor God. Honor God with your giving. Let God speak to every aspect of your life. Hallelujah. Tomorrow night, we are going to have the prophet of God, Prophet Apostle Paul Ame, speak to us. This is, his kind is rare. He's very, very, when God is using him in that prophetic vein, he'll read you like he's reading a book. God opens his eyes to see very clearly, very specifically, and helps to give guidance. And I encourage you to participate tomorrow night in that ministration. You know, this is a man of God, and we've had him at least two or three times. Two times at least. Okay. And each time he's come with a very clear word, you know. I don't know how God is going to use him tomorrow night, but I do know God is going to use him mightily. He's a dear son. And even as a father, there are times when I will call him and say, I need you to process something for me. Pray. Tell me what you're hearing from God. Hallelujah. Because none of us has all of it. Amen? So I don't have any qualms about that. I honor the God that's operating in him. And I know he's going to move mightily by the Spirit of God and speak to us powerfully. I was sharing last night about how I was talking to one of our spiritual daughters in Toronto, and that one mentioned how he honed in, mentioned her name, mentioned the day that she started articling and got into a law firm, and detail upon detail upon detail. Never met the person. The person was not even here in this building, online, and is shoop, 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 shoop. You know, the various ones. And now talk about the prophetic word that is brought to my life. When I talk to Paul Amer, I turn my phone on recording. I just turn it on because I'm about to hear something. Amen? And I bring this man of God to us to enhance whatever it is God has placed in our lives. Because you fight with a prophetic word that goes in advance of you. It's sent forth ahead of you. The prophetic word goes ahead of you. And therefore, by that word, you start saying. So that's why I record it. So I go back and listen. Oh, I've not been doing this. And I start exercising that particular word. And it opens. It opens. It is what you say that opens the door. Amen? Praise the Lord. So please come ready, prayed up, and ready to hear the prophetic word. And then on Saturday, I'm going to continue, God willing, from Psalm 24. I just scratched the surface tonight, laying certain foundations, and we're going to bring it all the way to the end. Because whatever gates are blocking what God wants to do in your life, they must be lifted up. Amen? Everything is going to change for you and for me. Do you receive that word? Amen. All right. You've honored God with your giving. Then rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your manifold blessings. We are not here for ourselves. We're here because of you. It is you that we seek, and we seek you with all of our hearts. The world that we live in is a crooked world. Your word tells us that. But Lord, we want to shine as light in this crooked world, undefiled, not compromised or corrupted. And we're asking, oh God, for your sovereign move right now. I pray, oh God, for those that are struggling with their minds. And confusion seems to be reigning rampantly everywhere. You foul spirit of confusion, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you. Loose your hold. You have no authority in the lives of God's children. How dare you run around like you are in control? You're not in control. And we strip you by the authority of the Word of God of every right that you think you have over the children of God. We bring the hammer of God's word hard on your head. You are corrected right this very moment by the authority of the word of God. You have no chance. There is no space for you. You have no portion here. You don't have anything to have here. We belong to the Most High God, and He is Emmanuel unto us. He is our Yeshua, our Messiah, our Redeemer, the one worthy of all praise. And you will not tamper with anything that belongs to us. You will not bring shame around us. For the Lord God, our Father, rebukes you this day in that name that is above every other name, the name of our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. So get out of here. You have no place here. You are cast out in Jesus' mighty name. And by the way, you have no right over the physical bodies of God's people. The stripes of Jesus Christ have declared and decreed our healing. And we say so. We are the healed of the Lord. Healed in our going out, healed in our coming in, healed in every place. Our past is healed, our present is healed, our future is healed. Everything about us is operating in the divine health of God, and we are prosperous. You, devourer, you are rebuked in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, our high priest, has received our tithes, received our offerings, received our vows, received our pledges, and this day the hand of God of blessing is upon us. We are the blessed of the Lord. We have been marked with the name of the Most High God, and therefore the blessing of God is bestowed upon us now. Somebody say, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I am blessed in my going out and in my coming in. Everywhere I am, the blessing is. I'm a carrier of the glory of God. I'm a carrier of the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord flows through me and impacts all that I do. In Jesus' name, I say so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, we'll dismiss from you, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 6:30. And at this time, let me say a quick hello to some of those that are on Zoom. Amen.